Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action. It is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, Action.
Yeah. Quarter of 100 episodes, or 25.
Woo! We broke 1,300 downloads, too. So I'm Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool or on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So you want to briefly talk about your trip that you had here?
Yeah, Pura Vida, Wegs. I was in Costa Rica.
Nice.
Doing some surfing and checking out my new future home, Tamarindo, Costa Rica.
Oh, that's a little retirement home, huh?
Yeah, beautiful place. Incredible. The beach was nice. The surf wasn't top-notch, as I understand it, from some of the locals, but It was right up my alley. I had some fun and took a little bit of break from work and from gambling, although I did pick out a few spots to wager on over the weekend.
Of course you did.
Even money on the weekend. I didn't play a lot of plays, but it was a good time.
Do they still have like cockfighting and stuff down there?
I did not see any cockfighting, although if I had, I probably would have wagered on that too. but no, it was a good time. Just chilling, relaxing, beach town, very awesome. Slow vibe, very unlike Chicago.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Coge lo suave, right? So that's the way to go. Well, I mean, beautiful weather too, I'd imagine.
Oh, it was amazing. 91 and sunny all weekend.
91. Incredible. Ouch. Well, it was.
How was it here in Chicago?
High of 20. Felt like 4. It was a rough one, but as we talked about, we had the matchmaker event on Saturday the 9th. It was an excellent turnout. We ended up having 130 people register and 100 people actually showed up. Wow. For a free event at Cindy's on the rooftop. And as a result, it looks like we actually are onto something here. I think we're going to be doing more events. The sponsor, Maker's Mark, is interested in locking down the entire venue for a big summer rooftop party. So I know you'll be there.
That sounds phenomenal. Make sure that you give me the date early. I'll put it on my calendar.
We are going to do a save the date, and we'll see about follow-up events. But definitely a good turnout. People enjoyed it. It was a little bit wall-to-wall in there at one time. We actually potentially had to turn people away because we hit room capacity, but for the most part, everybody had a great time, and the night turned out great for me. It was another late night for Jimmy Wags. Got home about 3:30 in the morning.
So. Wow. Were any matches made that you're aware of?
I am aware of a couple connections. I wouldn't call them matches, but there was a lot of Valentines being exchanged the old school way on the old paper Valentine, and I know some people that told me, they said, hey, man, I made some connections. Thank you so much. This is great, and a lot of people were sick of the apps, so this is definitely something new for them to try.
Yeah, real-life dating. Who could have thought that's a real thing these
days?
It
actually works. M&M Singles, our group, definitely has some legs here. And hopefully, I mean, Makers was telling us that when they do events like this, they had about quarters of the number of people that we had. So
wow.
We definitely delivered, and I think we have a potential long-term partnership here.
Flying colors. And if it continues like this, we might have to change your nickname from Wegs to Matchmaker.
Oh, boy. We'll see about that. All right, let's go over this episode of Side Action. We've got some legislative updates, some information, which is exciting. We'll go over our head-to-head. It was all basketball edition. We'll talk a little bit about the AAF. We can't get enough football on this podcast, can we, Action?
No. I'm interested in this AAF.
Me too. And then we'll talk about the college hoops, which is the bulk of our episode here, our normal metrics, and then spots we're eyeing. And, of course, we'll think about, you know, how to approach this more and more. And then some NBA. Looks like you have some dunk contest odds. I probably don't know any of those guys. And finally, the puck line information, if we have any.
No updates on the NHL. Didn't get to that this week.
That's totally fine. And then finally, our head-to-head. So it might be a little bit of a shorter episode for once, isn't it, Action?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, let's jump right in. Looks like you have some information about New Jersey bettors.
Yeah, I saw the handle posted from January in New Jersey. They posted $385 million wagered, which was the highest they've had in the 6 months they've been in business.
Impressive.
And they're still turning a profit, too. Last year, since the repeal of PASPA, New Jersey is ahead of all of the other states that have legalized outside of Nevada, of course.
That's insane. I think what'll probably happen is if New York gets legalized, maybe that number will go down a little bit. They're probably getting a lot of New Yorkers there, but that's a big number, and I don't even know if that includes the Super Bowl then.
No, that does not include the Super Bowl, right? It has all the playoffs through January, but Super Bowl will come out next month when February concludes.
Dominate that, so we'll see. That's exciting, and we expect that when Illinois turns the page and actually does this, that we'll be up there too, rivaling New Jersey.
I'm sure, and it's going to be very interesting to see how other states, as they come online, run up against New Jersey in terms of the handle, because there's some other big hot pockets, like you mentioned here in Chicago and other places throughout the country, that may have some revenue close to that as well.
That's awesome. Okay, let's go into the head-to-head. While you're out of town, I had a good week on you. We started off with, I guess we'll do the NBA game first. The Nuggets were 4-point favorites at the Sixers, according to us, although that line changed a little bit. Mainly, as we talked about, Tobias Harris was traded to the Sixers, and that's a definite upgrade for them. Mm-hmm. And they actually took the game fairly easily. They had 5 starters in double figures. J.J. Redick himself hit 6 of 7 three-point shots, and they won the game 117-110.
Yeah, this is one, like all the others, that I didn't watch. But I did see that the Sixers were actually a 4-point favorite, so we had the line way off. Mm-hmm. But we'll call it even, since I got the one the week before with the Houston Rockets.
That's right. Then we went into our college games. We had Duke at Virginia. This was a big marquee game. Virginia were 2-point favorites at home. So what happened in that one?
Well, I read that Duke was just blazing from the three-point line.
That's right.
60% to open the game, and they just busted out a huge lead, and Virginia could never recover. And, I mean, like you had noted on here, if they shoot like that, I don't think anyone's going to beat them.
Yeah, we talked about this before the season that, you know, I like Duke, and I didn't know until we saw them against Kentucky what they were capable of. It seems like this team really steps up in big games. We won't probably talk about this in the pod, but the other night, you know, they were down. They had that big 23-point deficit against Louisville, mm-hmm. and came all the way back. This team's got some swag. I mean, they just can play. And unfortunately with Virginia, I think their style of play, it's really hard for them to come back. When they take a big blow like that, it's hard for them to get back in the game. So I don't want Virginia against Duke at any point, but Virginia's going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, they may end up playing again in the ACC tournament, so mm-hmm. they might get a third crack at them. We'll see.
See what happens. The next game was Kentucky. They were 3-point favorites on the road at Mississippi State. The Cats actually won the game 71-67. They were up big early. I mean, they had a big lead, kind of like Duke. They kind of came out a blazing, shooting the ball, 15-point lead at halftime. The Mississippi State team slowly but surely whittled that lead down. And actually, in my personal bet, it was a push because I got it at 4. I didn't get it at 3. I should have jumped on it the day before. So personally, I got the push, but in the head-to-head, I get the win.
Well, ironically, I think I took 3.5 with Mississippi State on vacation, so I got the loss, and you took the push. Yeah, so
there you go. The last game was Cincinnati at Houston. Houston were 4.5-point favorites at home. The Bearcats actually led 58-57 with 6:11 to play, but that Cougar defense you've been raving about, mm-hmm. they just shut them down for the rest of the game, and they did not score again, and they won 65-58.
Yeah, Houston plays some serious defense, and they're going to be a force to reckon with when the tournament rolls around.
I was naysaying that team early on, but I got to be honest with you, they are looking good. I've heard comments from Kelvin Sampson that this team reminds him of that Oklahoma team that made the Final Four. So, you know, they're kind of a dark horse. If you look on the odds, the futures, they might be one of those teams you can watch. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about your AAF, the Alliance of American Football. Well, what did you see in week one?
Nothing. I didn't watch any football.
I didn't either.
But this kind of snuck up on me, to be honest. I think you had mentioned it a few weeks back, and mm-hmm. I know I had seen it in the headlines, but hadn't had any chance to read up on it. I spent some time while traveling on my way home and getting back here to the States, reading up on a little bit how week one went. And a lot of people thought that there would be very high-scoring games because mm-hmm. of the change in the rules. Mm-hmm. Not sure if you're aware, but they actually have a 35-second play clock as opposed to 40 in mm-hmm. the NFL. And there's mandatory 2-point conversion attempts after every touchdown. So no lame PATs to worry about. And there are rules also that prevent the defenses from blitzing more than 5 rushers on one play.
Wow.
And players aren't allowed to blitz from more than 2 yards outside the line of scrimmage.
Really? So, I didn't hear that. That's interesting.
A lot of folks thought that these games were going to be higher scoring.
And sure.
The totals in week one reflected that. I think all four of them opened up near the mid-50s. Mm. And the Saturday games both went well under the total. And then on Sunday, the other two kind of followed course and went down 46.5 and 49. Hmm. And one of them went under and the other over. So the unders ended up 3-1 on the opening weekend.
Interesting. You noted here, too, there are no kickoff returns in this. They all start on the 25-yard line every time. This is something that a lot of people speculate will happen in the NFL soon and in college. I don't know if that takes away something. I mean, obviously, it's predictive where you know you're going to start on the 25, but there's no big plays and touchdowns. It's an injury preventive measure.
Yeah, and no onside kicks because there's no kickoffs.
Sure, makes
sense. You can elect to take the ball from your own 28-yard line with 4th and 12. So you have the option to,
instead of an onside kick,
you could take the ball in your own territory with one play to gain 12 yards, and then you get to continue driving. Or if not, you turn it over to the other team. So it's similar outcome.
Okay.
And probably similar percentages.
Interesting.
To onside kicks as
well. 4th and 12.
Yeah.
Where do they come up with this?
I don't know. It's very interesting. But I'm looking forward to catching one or two of these games this weekend. Another thing I pulled out of the stats from week one was that home teams outscored the away teams 119-34.
Oof.
And
that's a big home field advantage.
I think it was probably more due to just the mismatches in week one than anything else.
Okay.
But I'm definitely interested to see how the home teams perform in week two as well.
So you have a rating here on our system here. You've got, I don't know what the rating means, but you've got Atlanta at the top, the Atlanta Legends. Does that mean they're the best team or the worst team?
Worst team, yeah.
Okay.
These are inverse. And I pulled these out of the Action Network, you know, some ratings that were on there. The Arizona Hotshots were actually the most impressive team in
week
one.
Rick Neuheisel.
Yeah?
He's the coach.
Okay.
And I believe the guy, Phil Savage, who used to run the Senior Bowl, is the GM.
Mm-hmm.
So he might have a little leg up on it, on picking players. And Rick Neuheisel, you know, he's... he's a great guy.
He's a former Washington
coach? Yep, Washington coach, okay. Colorado coach, obviously quarterback at UCLA. I listen to him on Sirius. He's usually, you know, for the college station. So, yeah, so that's great. So what do we got for lines this week in the AAF?
Well, I'm going to kind of take this slowly, but I was definitely interested in checking out the lines this week. And I think some of these games came out as a little bit of an overreaction to the week one results. One line that I picked out was the Orlando Apollos laying 6 points against San Antonio Commanders this weekend. And Orlando whipped up on Atlanta last weekend. Steve Spurrier is the coach of Orlando, and I think he had some tricks up his sleeve
there.
I think they posted 40 points against Atlanta last weekend.
Wow.
And as such, this line has kind of ballooned out to 6. And I'm going to take the value with San Antonio Commanders catching 6 points this weekend against Orlando.
What do you think about the over then if they scored 40 points? It's only 44.5 now.
Well,
seems kind of low.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I am intrigued by these totals, and I do agree with you at first glance. There may be some value at looking over in some of these games this weekend, but I'm probably going to stay on the sidelines and watch another weekend and see how it goes.
Okay. One of the things I was talking to you about before the pod was I heard that the guy from DraftKings, I can't remember his name, but the guy from DraftKings out of New Jersey.
Aiello? Johnny?
Aiello. That sounds right.
Like that.
Johnny Aiello. I was going to say Danny. I know that's wrong. So he was saying that there are a couple states, including Mississippi, where you can't make bets yet on the AAF. He hasn't gotten approval through the DraftKings network. So I'm not sure which states those are in total, but you got to make sure that you can bet them. Obviously, you can do it the way we do it, offshore.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, check that out. I think I probably will stay away at the moment, but I am intrigued by the totals more than the teams right now, as I have no idea about these guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's looking across the board here, all four totals are in the 40s, with the lowest one being that Atlanta and San Diego game at 42.5 right now.
Hmm.
And those two teams have the worst offenses in the league. I think both of them posted 6 points over the weekend.
Ooh.
And 42.5 is obviously pretty low, but it's ticked down already from its opener. So I think the value's gone.
I think we also should say that this league has some former stars like a Trent Richardson in the league here. Who else is in this league?
Zach Stacy, I saw come across my screen.
Sure.
Christian Hackenberg.
Oh, Hackenberg. I heard he was terrible.
Yeah, they got trounced. I'm not even sure which team he's on. But
it's a lot of guys from the practice squads. It's almost like a second chance league. The other cool thing about the AAF is they were televising the games on the NFL Network. So they have a partnership there, which probably has some legs. I think they definitely appealed to the NFL, whereas the XFL, you know, in the past, and that was the last league that tried, they were kind of blowing up the NFL and, you know, talking smack. And they're going to come back in another form next year. Okay, well, let's talk about college hoops. This is our bailiwick right now. You mentioned, actually, yeah, it happened the other night. LSU got the big road win at Kentucky. LSU is undefeated on the road in the SEC.
Wow. They are playing really well right now. Tremont Waters, that point guard, is one of my favorite players in the nation, and he just knows how to run that show. And they got some big guys inside, too, who are tough to handle.
I lost the game in the bet. I would have lost the money line, too. But I don't know if you saw the game. That was that controversial basket interference no call, which apparently is not reviewable. So they went to the board, and then they like looked at the screen, and then they kind of went, oh, no, we can't review it. To me, clearly was a basket interference call. I mean, they weren't going to necessarily cover. It was going to go to overtime, but that's a tough way to lose.
Yeah, I did catch the end of that in the airport, actually, and you're right. It was all of the Kentucky fans' faces were just so hilarious. Some of them were, like, crying as the game was ending. I was really digging that part. But.
Unbelievable. Well, they'll have a good chance that we'll talk about later in the head – or not the head-to-head, but we'll talk about later. They're going to play Tennessee in the big matchup. We were surprised. Virginia bounced back. They take it on the chin against Duke at home, and then they turn around, and they kind of whooped up on UNC on Monday night.
Yeah, I had both these games backwards, betting on Virginia on Saturday, and then I had UNC on Monday night. Thankfully, I backed up both of them with the unders, and they both hit, so didn't lose too much. But UVA, kind of an interesting week, but their defense is still holding strong, so that's their calling card, and I'm still going to be looking to play them under in a lot of games.
That's right. So we talked a lot about this early in the year about, you know, basically college basketball is very unpredictable. These kids, I mean, they go up and down just like our bets apparently. Michigan beats Wisconsin and then they go to Penn State, who's not good, and they lose.
Well, Penn State has been on the up and up, my friend.
Yes.
So, I mean, they've been playing a lot well lately. I think we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But back to Michigan, this offense has just been not playing well lately. And it's showing in the scores that they're putting up. They're playing a lot of unders, and their pace is slowing down. And when Jordan Poole and Livers are not hitting from the outside, they're just not a good offense. That's right. The bottom line.
The game they beat Wisconsin in, I watched the game actually quite a bit. It really boiled down to, I mean, Charles Matthews had a hell of a game. He was making a bunch of shots, but it was basically hero ball. It wasn't really fluid like you normally see B-line offenses are. So there's something going on with that team. Admittedly, they've talked a lot about how without Mo Wagner to stretch the court and kind of space it out, it's just a different team than last year offensively. And then you got TCU. They got a big road win against Iowa State. I mean, this is just inexplicable.
Yeah, this was one of the surprising outcomes of the weekend when I was going through and checking the box scores. I don't understand how this happened, and maybe you can fill me in.
I don't know. I mean, Iowa State has been one of these teams that is much higher in KenPom. The other thing is Auburn. I bet on Auburn last night. Lost that game, too. Auburn at home against Ole Miss. Ole Miss is inconsistent. They're up and down. But I guess Kermit Davis has something on Bruce Pearl. He knows how to defend that team, and he's held them to their two lowest totals of the year in the two wins against Auburn.
So. Mississippi is a team I'm interested to check out during March. They may scare some people when the tournament rolls around if they sneak in there.
Well, Kermit Davis is they're going to make it. Kermit Davis is a hell of a coach, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's go over some of our metrics. In the KenPom review, there's not a lot to review because actually the AP is starting to balance out with KenPom quite a bit.
Interesting.
Marquette is still there, even though they keep winning. They did not cover against Nova, but they did beat them. They're still 10th in the AP, but they're 26th in KenPom. So they're right on the verge of the top 25 in KenPom, but still overvalued. And I know you like that with Marcus Howard. Iowa is a team that's kind of, I'm not going to call them overvalued, but they are a little bit high in the AP. They're 21st, but they're 28th in KenPom. I think they're a pretty solid team. The underrated teams, I keep promoting stupid Auburn here, and they cost me, but Auburn's 27th in the AP, but they're 17th in KenPom. We talked about it, though, before the pod. This team just loves to shoot the three, and if they're on, they score a lot. If they don't, they lose, and that's kind of what's up. Mississippi State is just one of these teams I've been mentioned before. They're kind of up and down. They're not even on the AP radar anymore, getting zero votes, but they are 23rd in KenPom. So they're just one of these teams that just kind of grinders, and they're good in certain matchups, so you just got to watch out. Against the spread, I like Washington still. They finally got beat at Arizona State. Purdue finally got beat as well. We didn't mention that.
Yeah, Maryland. That was a tough spot for Purdue on Tuesday night going into College Park, and that Maryland team can really rebound, and I think we've talked about Bruno enough on this podcast, and he took Purdue to task on Tuesday night. And
yeah, you mean Harms didn't have any answer for that dude. No. That's a real man.
Yeah, any team, I'm going to be looking for that matchup in the NCAA tournament, and Purdue's going to bounce to some solid rebounding team. That's smart. Already see it.
They're still 8-2, though, and then Kentucky, even with the loss against LSU, is 8-2 against the spread. Nevada, you keep... And I know you don't believe in Nevada, and I know the Mountain West stinks, but they're 7-1 against the spread, baby.
Yeah, it's hard to see. There's no competition in that league this year outside of Boise State might be the second best
Utah team. State's pretty good.
Yeah, San Diego State's decent, but Nevada just doesn't have the competition right now.
All right, but you added somebody on here, the Drake Bulldogs.
Yeah, added the Drake Bulldogs, 7-2 against the spread in their last 9 games.
Missouri Valley,
uh-huh. And they have just been cashing left and right. Weekly underdogs, it seems, on the road, and they're winning road games and home games. So, team I'm looking out for sure.
I have to check them out. So how does the action power ratings match up against what I've talked about?
Well, Virginia slipped a little bit. They mm-hmm. were number 2, and now they're down to 3rd. Duke is clear number 1. But Gonzaga is actually nipping at their heels, only mm-hmm. about 1.8 points clear.
Right.
And then Michigan State and North Carolina are 4 and 5, quite a bit higher than their AP ranks. Tennessee checks in at number 6. Mm-hmm. Kentucky is 7, followed by a couple of Big Ten teams, Michigan and Purdue. And Virginia Tech still staying in there at number 10, although my eyes tell me something different about that team right now.
I agree. You know, Gonzaga lost Killian Tilly for the year now.
So is he out for the year?
He's out for the year.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
So even though their metrics are good, it's kind of disappointing because I was kind of thinking that they could maybe take out Duke. They did beat Duke early in the year without Killian Tilly. Mm-hmm. But he came back. I don't know what happened. He aggravated something. He's out for the year. So that hurts their overall chances. But they are destroying teams right now against the spread. I did bet on them tonight. I know you're against me in that one.
Yeah, Loyola tonight. We'll Loyola see what Maramount. Happens. And Saturday night. We've got another head-to-head.
That's right. So we'll see what happens. Well, what spots do you like this week in college basketball?
Well, I was itching to pick out a Friday night special.
Of course you were.
You and I like it. And I've been eyeballing these Ivy League totals on Friday nights. Okay. And one team in particular that's scoring the ball very well is the Penn Quakers. The
Quakers.
And they're hosting Dartmouth on Friday night. And mm-hmm. the line has come out at 143.5.
Okay. Seems a little low.
Dartmouth has played 3 overs in a row and has the 285th adjusted defense in the country, which I think Penn can take advantage of and really okay. put up some points in this one. But Dartmouth also shoots the three-pointer really well, 38% from the three. And I think that they should be able to heat up against Penn and will help this game go over the total of 143.5.
Leave it to action to find those obscure spots, especially on Friday night action.
Mm-hmm.
The next game you've got is Maryland at Michigan. Michigan's a 5.5-point favorite at home, but you like the first half under at 63 in this one.
Yeah, I like the full game under, too, projecting it at around 127, but this is the noon tip-off, noon Eastern time, and both of these teams have been playing under. Mm-hmm. They're both slower in pace, 259 and 304, respectively, and defensively, they're both awesome, too. Maryland has been really playing great defense lately. And Michigan is the number 2 rated defense in the land.
That's right.
Maryland 6-2 under in its last 8, and Michigan the same, 6-2 under in its last 8 games. And I think this one's going to start slow on Saturday morning.
Okay, I think you're right. You mentioned that in past podcasts that early noon game is always slow starters, so might as well cash it in if you can. Looks like you like another one. Is this another noon game? Indiana at Minnesota?
No, afternoon tip.
Okay.
2 or 3 p.m., but this is just a play against Indiana.
Yeah.
They've been really playing poorly lately. Dropped 2 home games over the weekend to Iowa and then Ohio State, and their offense has just been not playing well. They both play a slow pace. Minnesota is 174th in pace and mm-hmm. Indiana 240. And both of them have been going under as well. Indiana 5-3 to the under in their last 8 games. And Minnesota has gone 4 straight unders.
Wow.
So I think that this one is going to be tightly contested, and they're both very poor from the free throw line too, 66% and 68%. And this is a good recipe for another under game.
And you think that's going to be about 136?
Yep. Mm-hmm. KenPom projected 136. Usually these offshore books open those numbers right in line with KenPom.
So. Okay. The next game is you actually have as an over game. There we go. It's not all unders, guys.
Yeah.
LSU at Georgia. LSU's coming off that big win at Kentucky. Now they're hitting Georgia. Georgia's not quite as good. Your Tom Crean is the coach of Georgia.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you're projecting this total at 153. And why do you like this one as an over game?
Well, it's squarely due to Tom Crean. As you mentioned, Georgia has been playing at a very fast pace this year under new head coach Tom Crean, 79th in the nation in tempo. Mm-hmm. And Tremont Waters and LSU are happy to play that style. And home games for Georgia have been very high scoring. I was looking back at the card. They've been putting up a lot of points at home. And last time these two teams played at LSU, they combined for 172 points and a 92-82 LSU win. So I think that this one is likely to be a little bit closer of a contest. And LSU is one of the hottest free throw shooting teams in the country, 76% from the line. And I think that this one will come down to free throws at the end and we'll tick over that 153.
Sounds good. I think that's even 174 action, unless it's a missing.
Oh, some yeah, math, you're right. Bad math.
Still, either way, that's way over the total, so you're in good shape there. Georgia's not good. LSU, it could be a letdown spot for LSU. You never know, but they'll still score for sure. This next one we will talk about in the head-to-head and the side, Penn mm-hmm. State at Purdue. Purdue's a 13-point favorite at home. Again, you love the under in these Big Ten matchups at 140.
Yeah, Purdue's another team that's been going under and playing great defense mm-hmm. as of late. And Penn State is one of the best defenses in the Big Ten. They're consistently holding opponents down, low-scoring games, and they like to grind it out. And that's the only way that they're really managing some of these games is right. just grinding them out. So I like the under in this one as well.
I gotcha. This guy's Mr. Total. We finally, I'm on this one finally. Tennessee at Kentucky. This is a huge marquee game in the SEC. We are projecting Kentucky to be a 3-point favorite at home, the total at 146. I actually almost like that Kentucky lost the game. Because they hadn't lost a game at home all season. Tennessee is coming in. They've won, I think it's 23 straight, 21 straight games. They haven't lost in a long time. But I think this is when the road stops. Kentucky is going to be pissed off that they got beat on that last second play. And their defense is really good. Kentucky's in the top 10 in defensive efficiency. As good as Tennessee is, and I think the last time I checked, they're number one in efficiency for mm-hmm. offense. Mm-hmm. I think the difference is that Kentucky can get stops and Tennessee will not be able to get stops. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think this is a phenomenal spot for Kentucky. It's clear that both of these teams were looking past their opponents in the midweek. Mm-hmm. Tennessee also failed to cover at home against South Carolina. But Kentucky is going to have a serious edge on the glass in this one, too. Mm-hmm. Third ranked in offensive rebounding. And even if they aren't able to score at will, they're going to get some second chance points in this game. And I think they'll be able to win and cover this 3 points easily.
All right. Great. We'll talk about the next one, the Zags at San Diego in the head-to-head. What about Ohio State at Sparty? Sparty is a 13-point favorite projected on Sunday against Ohio State. Michigan State has struggled of late. They did get a big win this week at Wisconsin, so they finally broke that three-game skid that they had. But now they're going to come home, and I just see that they're going to roll against Ohio State. The Buckeyes are 2-3 on the road in their last five. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Ohio State did play pretty well last weekend on the road at Indiana, but mm-hmm. Michigan State has been playing well lately as well. I know that Kenny Goins picked up a little bit of an injury, and that's one thing that I would probably want to monitor. And this one, he's been lightning rod for them this year, now finally shooting three-pointers mm-hmm. and just he's kind of gets everything done on the inside for the Spartans. I like this spot at 13 points. I'll probably stay away, but if it opens up anything less than that, I think Spartans are the only way you can go in this game.
Okay. You've got another over under situation total where Virginia at Virginia Tech, the total's 124. Woo! That's a Monday game. So you think that because, well, they played earlier? No, that was a different match.
They have played earlier this year. And actually, I checked back. The game did go over the total in their first matchup. I mm-hmm. think it ended up in the upper 130s or so. But this Virginia team is just stifling their opponents.
They are.
And Virginia Tech has not been playing well on offense lately. Their mm-hmm. offense has not been as productive as it was earlier in the season in the last few games. And I think that Virginia is going to be able to hold them down and maybe cover this number and definitely keep it under 124.
Yeah, I agree with you. Virginia Tech isn't playing very well lately. I've got them at, they're basically 3-7 in their last 10 against the spread. So I don't think they're really playing efficient basketball in general. So I would agree with you. Virginia's going to do what they do. They're going to strangulate the defense. And they're really a good road team. They showed mm-hmm. that against North Carolina. The last game, we've got Kansas State. This is a Monday night game, okay?
Yep, Monday nighter.
Kansas State is going on the road to West Virginia. We're projecting that as a 6-point. There will be 6-point favorites on the road, total at 130. You like Kansas State in this spot, and that's because why? That's the Big 12. They are really good, but West Virginia obviously is not that good this year.
Yeah, this is just a pure auto fade of West Virginia. Mm-hmm. They lost their big guy, Kunate. He's been mm-hmm. out for quite some time. And I read that they just picked up 2 more suspensions in the last week or so, too. So this Bob Huggins team is just on the decline and looking to get worse. And this is going to be a spot where Kansas State is just phenomenally better than them.
Yeah, they're playing great basketball for sure. Okay, let's go into the NBA a little bit. We've got the All-Star break finally. You wanted to mention that the Pacers are now 8-2 in their last 10 with the under, which we'd mentioned last week. Hopefully people took advantage of that. Mm-hmm. More of the same, huh?
Yeah, the Pacers team have been playing great defense. And I think there was one game against the Lakers when the trade rumors were floating where Indiana put up like 130 on them if the game went over. But every other game in the last week has gone under that total.
So tell me about these dunk contest odds. Maybe you can clue me in on some of these guys. I know a couple of those names.
Dennis Smith Jr. is mm-hmm. the favorite. These are odds from BetOnline at +150.
Okay.
John Collins is the big guy from the Atlanta Hawks, former Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Big man, +200. Miles Bridges, I'm sure you remember him from his days at Michigan State, is the third favorite at +275.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth favorite is Hamidou Diallo. Wingman from OKC has that +300.
I don't know Diallo. Dennis Smith from North Carolina State, I believe. Pretty good ball player.
Yeah, he's a short guy, so I think that's probably why he's posted as the favorite here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the short dunkers tend to be able to high fly a little bit more, at least in the perception
of
the voters.
Nate Robinson, Spud Webb effect.
Exactly. But I'm not going to be betting on this. I definitely wouldn't be picking out Collins out of these. Hamidou Diallo might be a little bit of a sleeper. This kid has got some serious athleticism, and I expect he'll be able to pull off some good dunks.
I always love the dunk contest, but you know, nowadays you don't get any of the premier guys anymore, and it's kind of sad. I like the skills competition, and I do like the three-point contest, but
there are odds on those other competitions as well, but I wasn't able to pull them out here for the podcast.
That's okay. It's okay, action. So tell me about the game. It looks like the Team LeBron, which they've changed the format. It's not East and West, and now it's like they select the teams in advance. Team LeBron is a 6-point favorite over Antetokounmpo's team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you mentioned, this is the second year they're running this format where the two captains do a draft mm-hmm. and select their teams. And LeBron's team is a 6-point favorite, which I think might be a little bit high because Giannis has some sharpshooters.
Sure.
Stephen Curry. Third favorite MVP, Paul George, and then Joel Embiid to anchor the inside. And I think that these three guys may be able to keep this game closer than 6 points. If I was going to be betting the side, I would definitely be looking at Giannis's team.
Well, I know you got him for the MVP this year, so you got to root for him. I like him too. I know that which team is Durant on? Is he on LeBron's team?
That is a good question. I'm not sure.
I think he might be, but... But yeah, I mean, these games are, and you're, the next note is the totals, obviously. Mm-hmm. So this is the total 265 right now, 265.5.
I wasn't able to find a total yet posted in any of my books, but the average between 2005 and 2012 was 265.5.
I gotcha.
But since 2013, the average has jumped significantly up to 315 points.
Yeah, you got to go over in these games unless it's like 400 or something.
Well, you know, it's funny you think that because in these All-Star games prior to last year, they have been high flying and very high scoring. But since the new format was instilled, it looks like there might be a little bit more competitiveness to this game. And these guys actually played a little defense last year.
Interesting.
And the game only combined for 293 points, which was well below that closing line at 332.
Interesting.
So if it opens anywhere near 300, I'm going to be looking under this game. I probably won't be going under anything under that 300 threshold, though.
So speculation is that basically because it's kind of like for pride instead of before it was whatever, just an exhibition. Now you've got guys, even teammates playing against each other. Maybe there's a little bit more defense being played. I don't know. Maybe we'll see what happens.
A poquito more defense.
A poquito. Look at this guy. Espanol over here. Okay, no puck lines this week. We'll leave the Follow the Money 5 out of it this week. Let's go right to the
head-to-head. Yeah, I do know that the Blackhawks and Devils are playing tonight, and I did check the VIG. It was a crazy minus 220.
Woo!
Yeah, that's off that one.
That's what the traffic. It took me an hour and a half to get here, actually. All right, let's talk about the head-to-head. We've got several college basketball games this year, or this way, all of it college basketball. We'll start off with Penn State at Purdue. As we mentioned, we're speculating Purdue will be a 13-point favorite at home. I'm on the Boilers, man. You know I'm boiling up. I've been on them for weeks. I think that they're going to take out Penn State. They did get a loss at Maryland because, obviously, Bruno Fernando took care of business in the middle. But I don't think Penn State has that kind of firepower in the paint. And Purdue coming home, they're undefeated at home in the Big Ten. I like them to roll it with that 13 points.
Yeah, I mean, Purdue definitely went on the road and won at State College earlier this month, but that final score was a little bit misleading. They ended up winning by 9 and covering the closing number of 8 in overtime, which was kind of a tough beat if you ask me, because I did have Penn State in that game.
That's right.
But Penn State was holding their own, and they have similar rebounding numbers to the Boilermakers, and they also play very good defense, 40th ranked in defensive efficiency. And although I know Purdue has the 4th ranked offense, this Penn State team matches up well with Purdue. And if this number really comes out at 13, which is what we're going to grade it at here in the head-to-head, I'm going to take the Nittany Lions to cover that big number.
I can't believe this guy going against his alma mater.
Yeah, well, he got to sometimes.
The money. Okay, well, next game we've got Iowa State at Kansas State. We're projecting Kansas State to be just a 1-point favorite at home. What do you got in this one, actually?
I'm going to be taking the Kansas State here. Since Dean Wade returned to the lineup, this team is a totally different offense, and I think some of these season-long metrics are depressed a little bit because of that. Right now, they're only 115th ranked in offensive efficiency, but I think that's a little bit deflated because Dean Wade has only been in the lineup for a shorter period of time. You and I were looking before we jumped on here, and they've actually won and covered in 9 straight Big 12 games. So I'll be looking for them to make a 10 at home. Oh, sorry, they're a home team.
They're at home. They're at home.
Home team, Kansas
Iowa
State.
I think you're looking at West Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're at home against Iowa State. So still same basic handicap. They're playing great, I'm sure. But Iowa State, they got taken out. Kansas State went up to Ames and beat them. I believe it was by 1. It was a nip and tuck game. Iowa State usually is a high flying scoring team. Kansas State's defense is great. And they've got some men on that team. That Barry Brown is just a beast. But I think this is going to be a payback spot for Iowa State. If they're, you know, 1 is kind of a small number there. I wish we got more points. But I think the Cyclones are going to win this game outright. So I'll definitely take Iowa State in that game. We're going to go off the map and go to the SoCon for the next one. We've got UNC Greensboro at Wofford. I'll tell you right now, I'm on the Terriers. I've been on there for a while. They were speculating they're going to be a 10-point favorite at home. Greensboro is actually an excellent basketball team. They're actually duking out with Furman as we speak. They are right behind Wofford in the standings, but Wofford is a legit team. This team is in the top 30 in KenPom. I believe that they're going to be one of those teams that people are going to be talking about in March, not just to win one, maybe to the Sweet 16. So I think this is just a flex of muscle at home. 10 points is a big number, but I think the Terriers can do it. And they do have 14th ranked offense in KenPom. So I just like that they can basically run and gun those the Spartans, I think, that UNC Greensboro Spartans out of the gym. What do you say to that action?
Well, Wofford is certainly the class of the SoCon Conference. And like you said, they have played some serious competition this year. I think they played North Carolina and NC State earlier in the season. Very tough. But this UNC Greensboro team can play too.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Wofford's offense, but Greensboro has a pretty solid defense as well. 85th ranked in defensive efficiency and actually 7th in creating turnovers against their opponents. So the road team here catching 10 points with Greensboro, their offense doesn't blow you away, but they're a solid two-point shooting team, and I think they're going to be able to keep this game close and hopefully keep Wofford off that free throw line at the end. You know, this is right in that 8 to 10 point window that we've been talking about all year, but I'll take Greensboro plus the 10 points.
All right. The last game we'll go over, Gonzaga's going to San Diego, the Toreros. Gonzaga will be laying 17 points on the road. What do you say in this one, Action?
Well, I love the Toreros in this spot. I actually bet them a few weeks back on the road at Gonzaga when they were catching 22 and they only lost the game by 16.
Mm.
And Gonzaga is obviously the class of this conference. They're buzzsaws. They have just been mowing down their opponents. And they're coming off a tough road game tonight at Loyola Marymount. And San Diego is going to be back at home. And this is a team that everyone in the West Coast Conference gets up for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're going to get up and be able to rebound with Gonzaga, which I think is probably their strongest suit. They're 6th ranked in defensive rebounding.
Okay.
And I expect them to cover this number at home, plus 17.
I think the Zags are just on a mission right now. I mean, even with Killian Tilly on the lineup, they're just blowing teams out. It's not even close. It's not even fair, really. They played St. Mary's last week and just destroyed them.
They did.
They're 3-0 on the road ATS. That doesn't include tonight's game. We'll see. They play Loyola Marymount on the road tonight. This team is just on a mission. And the Toreros, as tough as they may be at home, I just can't see them doing it. I mean, it's only 17 points. It sounds like a big number. Usually, I wouldn't lay that many points. But with Gonzaga, that's the team I'm doing it because they're just covering and covering every single night. So it should be a good one to watch, especially with that handicap of the plus 17. But I still think the Zags are going to take it home.
Go Toreros.
All right. Well, that kind of wraps up our episode. We did go a little shorter, maybe 10, 15 minutes shorter, which is great. Thanks, everybody, for following our changes in the schedule. We're going to be on Thursdays now for the college basketball season.
Except for next week. I have another vacation.
This guy, where are you going this time?
Next Tuesday, I'm going on a ski trip.
So okay.
We'll be back on next Tuesday, and then we can get on regular schedule.
Okay, we're doing Tuesday next week. Okay. Yeah. Okay, see, this is news to me. This is what happens. which is fine. I'll have to check my schedule, make sure I can do that. And then, we'll get back on this tilt. A lot of times with college basketball, some of the best games are midweek anyway.
Yep.
So that really helps out. We will figure something out when you get back. If we're going to do some live event somewhere, we want to get some of our fans together like we did in football season.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, you know, like the podcast, share it with your friends. Check us out at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Check me out at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
And definitely watch out for Action's, you know, midweek in-game picks because he's doing great with the first half unders or actually in play. So he's making it happen.
Yeah, those second half picks are hot too.
Red hot. All right. Thanks, everybody.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.